life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
I was blind, but now I see.
Working jobs we hate, so we buy shit we don't need.
Ideas are worthless.
If you had one shot,
everything I'd ever read, heard, seen was now organized and available.
Now you fucking khakis.
Life moves pretty fast.
The Biohacking Secret Show.
Dr. John Laurence, welcome back, bro.
Yeah, thanks.
It's great to see you.
Yeah, man.
It's been a few years.
Yeah.
And very appreciative, not only of your generosity while I've been here today, you've had me running the gamut. I'm going to have you tell the people what you've hooked me up with and why. Let's start there, actually.
Yeah. Well, this is methylene blue, if you can't notice that there's like a brilliant blue. Just launched my book on methylene blue. It's on Amazon now. It's called Magic Bullet. And I'm really proud of that. It was a real labor of love. The book really encompasses a lot of the work that we've been doing over the last 10 years with methylene blue in the clinic and how I've been using it personally, you know, as a probably one of the best, I think, like nutraceutical biohacks that's out there. I know you've been using it as well.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible stuff. What do you love about it? And what problems do you think it solves better than a lot of other nutraceuticals and compounds?
Man, so when you start getting into the conversation, people start thinking that's impossible that one thing could do that much. Because like, you know, like kind of like cornering, like, okay, what's the one thing? Like, so it's really good with the brain and the nervous system, right? Mainly because the brain and the nervous system are so sensitive to energy fluctuations, right? So mitochondria, because that's what it works on. And so, that would be at the top of the list is like anybody that's dealing with any type of neurological challenges, brain fog, all the way
chronic fatigue,
cognitive decline, memory, word finding, you know, degenerative neurologic disease. You know, I know your father's dealing with Parkinson's. We've seen some good results with Parkinson's, but like a lot of these diseases also have some sort of an infection associated with it.
Yeah.
So this compound not only like upregulates mitochondria, but it actually like kills microbes, and it does it in a way that is very synergistic with your own immune system, which is it stimulates hydrogen peroxide to be released inside the microbe, basically lysing it the same way that your white blood cells might.
Interesting. So like our white blood cells, they identify pathogens that maybe are not in our best interest, and they're kind of using us in a parasitic fashion. And then it flags them, and then our immune system comes and does its job in an ideal world.
Right.
But it seems like there's a good amount of deterioration there, because there's more and more people at least seeking ozone, mm-hmm. benefiting from methylene blue, even benefiting from, I use with a lot of our guys, like oral diluted 35% food grade hydrogen peroxide.
Mm-hmm.
And so methylene blue is in that category of upregulating the immune system and sort of the aim, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. of those white blood cells.
Yeah, yeah. It has a, when it gets into the microbes, it actually has a way of upregulating the formation of hydrogen peroxide. So it's independent of your immune system. So there is some aspect of a strong or a weak immune system, right? And so I like to actually, melatonin actually plays a really interesting role in this as well. But if you think about energy production that comes from the cell, it's coming out of the mitochondria. And the mitochondria gets basically full of these, of methylene blue. And so methylene blue, because within that mitochondria, you can either use an electron, which is matter, or a photon, which is non-matter,
yeah.
right? That electron, there's two molecules in the methylene blue that are almost like a pitcher and a catcher. And basically one acts to catch the electron and the other one throws it, and it basically recycles it back and forth. And so it's an oxidant and a prooxidant, an antioxidant and a prooxidant. So it can basically kind of upregulate this like crazy amount of energy. And on top of that, it can actually harness photons, because the blue absorbs red and it reflects blue. That's what makes it blue.
Yeah.
And so when you start looking at photons that can actually penetrate into the body, it's the red spectrum that actually can get through your skin and into your tissues. So by using methylene blue along with red light, you can really upregulate this mitochondrial function, which in of itself can aid the immune system in fighting the battle. But what happens is that often infections, there's a certain limit to what the immune system can handle as far as fighting an infection. Because infections inherently produce inflammation, which are in the form of cytokines. Mm-hmm. And cytokines have a ceiling, because once you reach a certain ceiling within cytokines, so a certain ceiling of inflammation, your energy system makes a switch. It's called a cell danger response. Well, it actually shuts down its production and it shifts into making energy outside of the mitochondria in the cytosol. And mm-hmm. it's about 10% as effective. And this shift is what happens where people die from the cytokine storm. And in fact, most elderly, they die from pneumonia, which is from like the flu, right?
Right.
And so it's just in a matter that it's the inflammation, the cytokines reach that threshold where then they shut down. And that's when the immune system really shuts off with an infection. And you can use melatonin to keep that energy within the mitochondria and kind of protect that system. So we like to use both those together with chronic infections. And we find that higher doses of melatonin, I wrote another book about this. It's called Melatonin Miracle Molecule.
Are these all on Amazon?
They're on Amazon.
So Magic Bullets, the methylene blue one,
mm-hmm.
and then Melatonin Miracle Molecule.
Yeah. And in both books, not so much in the first book with melatonin, but for sure in this next book with methylene blue, I really dig into the science about how methylene blue works with melatonin in certain disease processes, because they're actually two of the most protective molecules. So they're neuroprotective, they're cardioprotective. In other words, both of these, the research is so impressive that if you had them on board and you had a stroke or a heart attack or some sort of an assault where you didn't, you know, you lost oxygen or blood flow for a period of time, you're very unlikely to have permanent damage if either one or both of those are on board.
That's fascinating. I would agree. And I'd even add to that the peptide C-Max is mm-hmm. showing a lot of promise with strokes. And there's a number of different things now. We'll say that. Otherwise, we're going to go on too many rabbit holes and open up too many loops. The thing that's really jumping out at me here is the interplay between the biochemical and the bioelectric.
Mm.
Right? So when you're talking about methylene blue, you're talking about reflecting blue light,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the spectrums that's most damaging.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also talking about increasing the amount of the beneficial red light
mm-hmm.
and some of the sun's frequencies that our body needs. And that mm-hmm. Something going on my back.
I'm watching to see if you're dripping.
You're right. Like, and so it's very interesting there, because so many people now are like being a little bit more conscientious about their exposure to certain frequencies and how that might positively or adversely affect their energy production. And then with melatonin too, you know, when we know that when we're exposed to high amounts of radiation, it increases ACTH, spikes cortisol. That's inversely related to melatonin. Not trying to get too nerdy here, but like it's all tied in together. Too much time on the phone, your melatonin levels are low, and you can balance this in some ways with exogenous melatonin.
Yeah.
Coupled with methylene blue. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting.
And
it's interesting how these things aren't part of the narrative within our medical system, because neither one of them have a patent available.
Right.
And I guarantee you, like, these two molecules actually absolutely blow doors on anything that I'm aware of within any pharmaceutical agent that's available.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that for sure. And so when you talk about infections, are you talking about people that have been dealing with chronic Lyme, chronic fatigue? I think there's a possible connection here, an infection connection with Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. neurodegenerative disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, multiple sclerosis,
mm-hmm.
Parkinson's, like my dad experienced. Like,
mm-hmm.
What types of people are coming in for help with infections that benefit from methylene blue?
Mm.
Anything that I haven't mentioned? I know I just kind of rattled them off.
Well, Epstein-Barr.
That was a shitty question. That question sucked. I'll take ownership. That question sucked. We can keep moving.
Well, no, I mean, I think there's a lot of infections that people go with that are within the gut, right?
Yeah. Oh,
and so those are hard to get at when you take, like, I mean, to some degree, anything that supports life force or mitochondrial force is going to help.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get a lot of these like parasites or these like gut
small intestinal bacterial overgrowth,
you don't necessarily want to go after it with methylene blue, just because you're going to have a negative effect on the microbiome. And it's not a terrible effect, because
mm-hmm.
actually we talk about this in the book, and we talk about methylene blue in the microbiome, and there's different thought processes on how you want to dose it related to that, and I can get into that in a second.
Yeah.
But they've interestingly looked at different strains of bacteria, and they found that some of them do better with methylene blue within the gut, and some of them don't. So it could throw the balance out a little bit. So we try to dose people where they take it in a fashion where it's mostly absorbed before it gets into the small intestine.
How are you doing that?
Well, it leaves really two options. One is drops, or what we do, we put it in a bar, right? Which is basically a cocoa butter suspension, right? Yeah. And so when you encapsulate it, oftentimes, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've taken a poop and I've seen like an encapsulated product like there, right? Mm. Sometimes these make it all the way through.
Yeah.
So if that opens up in the small intestines, it can actually cause some leaky gut and some irritation to the small intestines. Mm. You shouldn't have any bacteria in the small intestines. If it makes it into the large intestines, now we also manufacture a suppository with methylene blue.
Yeah.
And when we made that initially, we were promoting that quite a bit. It was before we really understood the microbiome issue. We still have it available. However, this is something that in rare occasions, you know, people might utilize where it's like very close to doing an IV. And there's certain procedures where, like what you're doing an IV. And some people might argue, I know like Joe Mercola is really outspoken about like anybody doing IVs of methylene blue because it's so well absorbed orally, like you're just ripping people off, blah, blah, blah. But what we're going to do...
I feel a significant difference, methylene blue IV versus orally.
Well, it absorbs fairly good orally. What we're doing with the IV now is we're raising your peak plasma to a very high level that it would not normally get. And then we're going to be actually introducing intravenous laser with you, which... Nice. You know, at some point we may actually have that wheeled in and you're going to see that laser in your arm. So yeah. It's going to be really cool.
We're making it like a show and tell. I dig it. Yeah. And I'm benefiting everyone. So people, I'm sure we got to talk about Advanced Rejuvenation, your place here. This is where you do all this stuff and where the magic happens. Like people know you got MitoZen, and that's where a lot of our listeners have experienced your NAD suppositories and your Sandman suppositories. And
Zen, and the Zen mist.
The Zen mist, right? Which I hit pretty hard when we were doing breath work at your place. Yeah. But Advanced Rejuvenation is where you can come and experience this stuff and have you and your team stacking a lot of these modalities. And right here in Sarasota.
Yeah, right. We're right here in Sarasota.
I had to plug that for you. Just, I didn't want people to have to wait till the end.
No, I know. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And I knew you might not, cause we just started nerding out and getting the zone.
You know what? You know, what's crazy is I started listening to you. Like when did you start your podcast?
2016.
Okay. So I guarantee you, I started listening to you right around then.
Yeah.
I heard you on, and you were up there, and I think Dave Asprey started a podcast and Ben Greenfield was real big.
Yeah.
And I was listening to all you guys and it was like, nobody really knew who John Lawrence was back then. You know, I was, but I knew like I was on to some really advanced stuff just in my own little world. And I would listen to you. I'd be like, man, you know, I really want to get on Anthony's podcast. Right. And I reached out to you a couple times, but I'm sure like you get hit up by doctors all the time. Right.
I just have like, I don't even get in the email and stuff. You know, I haven't checked my email in like 2 months.
Yeah. But I listened to you and I'm like, I could really connect with you and your story and listening to about your dad. And then I think what happened is that my best friend was Ben Greenfield's cousin and he passed, he got cancer. And so then Ben and I became friends and I went on Ben's, which, you know, he's got one of the biggest podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. And then that for me opened the door for then to be able to go to other people. Hey, I've been on Ben Greenfield's podcast. And all of a sudden people are like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Right.
And that's what happened with us. And then we became really good friends.
Yeah.
And you came out to visit one time and then you introduced me to Max Major,
right?
Who I saw in America's Got Talent, right?
Yeah.
And we've become like the best of friends. So I got to thank you for that introduction.
Yeah, of course, man. I'm glad I was talking to Max the other day and told him we were going to be hanging out. And if you guys haven't seen Max's stuff, like he's one of the best illusionists and he's great with magic, although he doesn't use that word too much. And did you see the video where he's got the people lifting the car now?
I did.
Great. He's like working in self-help and motivation. The African-American woman that's all fired up and she's like, thank you, God.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. He's doing phenomenal work. So I love it.
Well, you know, he's been here multiple times and we've collaborated with using kind of hypnotism along with the endonasal balloon treatments that I do.
Which I love.
And we found that there's a real synergy because we've kind of been going around and working with some of the most amazing people together. And we found that when we do this endonasal treatment on people, it drops their default mode network. And that's basically within hypnotism, you're like getting, it's kind of like within psychedelic medicine. Like there's this like complete collapse of like, I don't want to say collapse of reality.
Almost like a decrease in hypervigilance or like you're going parasympathetic, or am I putting the wrong words in your mouth?
Well, I think it has to do with the default mode network, this sense of identity. Like there's like a void that you hit, right? Mm-hmm. And when I was with Max, when he was first describing it to me, he was giving a demonstration like, you know, put your hand on mine and push down. And he was having me do something like, just keep pushing down, look in my eyes, right? And then you do something quick like that.
Right.
And then there's this like, this gap, right? I don't know if you felt that or not, but there was like, there's an unexpected thing. You're like trying to figure out what was that.
Mm-hmm.
And in that gap, there's this command of sleep.
Yeah.
This is the way that they normally do it. So when I do the balloons on people, there's a complete collapse in reality for people in a moment. And then it's releasing connective tissue within the structure called the dura mater, which is also called the tough mother. That's what in Latin, dura mater means tough mother.
Yeah.
And we store information in our connective tissue. Like if you were to have an emotional thing, like you get into a fight, you're a little kid and your dad like comes and like beats you, right? Mm-hmm. There's especially if we hold our breath, we store that emotion within our connective tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that's closer to the central nervous system than the dura. And so when I go in there with the balloons, I release this dura, which allows people to have access. So if I keep them breathing, they have access to all of this data. And then what I would do is turn them over to Max, and Max would, you know, he was here in Sarasota multiple times. He'd take him in the other room and he'd take him through his process. And we had people having the most incredible transformations.
Wow. That is wild. He never told me about that.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a vulnerable position to be in. I'd never experienced it. So like maybe you can explain what the process is like for listeners that haven't experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll share just like anything that wasn't.
Well, so we've advanced it. I was giving you a tour and we were talking about how we're actually doing eye testing, because the whites of your eyes actually connect with this dura. And oftentimes the eyes are basically kind of rusty, or they're like, they're bound up and they can't freely have this movement that they need to have. And so the three eye movements are either pursuits, where you're following something, a saccade, which is a fast eye movement to a target in your environment,
mm-hmm.
and then being able to hold your eyes in a gaze.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are incredibly important for us to build maps and grids of our body as it relates to our environment, which are incredibly important characteristics for especially athletes.
Yeah, proprioception, everything.
Yeah. And so a lot of these, you know, like hockey players, baseball players, football players, all of these sports require like a tremendous detail.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts to break down when the eyes are in certain quadrants. And anybody that's watching this or listening to this, you could even move your eyes into different positions and just notice if you're able to stand on one foot easier. If your head's flexed, extended, it's moved to different areas and your eyes are in different positions, and you find that there's certain positions that really throw you off, it's likely that you're putting some stress on the dura and the dura is not releasing. So what I would do clinically is I would take them into those positions and then systematically release that with a balloon that goes into the nasal passage, and it's inflated just for a second or two. And people can see more information about this on you know, if they check me out on Instagram, Dr. John Lawrence on Instagram, or functionalcranerelease.com. Or if you really want to take a deep dive, I got another book.
Yeah.
It's called It's All in Your Head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The modern man is devolving, and at a rapid pace. Men today have an average IQ that's 8 points lower than they were just 20 years ago. Men today are 50% more likely to be depressed compared to just 20 years ago, are 300% more likely to be obese compared to just 60 years ago, have sperm counts that are 62% lower than they were just 50 years ago, and have testosterone levels that are about 50% lower than they were just 20 years ago. But the reality is that it doesn't have to be this way. Your manhood, your strength, your power, your energy, your focus, all of these things are within your control. And you just need to recognize that all over the world, there are people that are curing cancer. There are people that are overcoming heart disease. Diabetes is a choice if you have the right tools at your disposal. But if you are one of the men that does not want to follow this pattern and you want to take control of this stuff, you want to have control over your body and mind, then I encourage you to go to biohackercoaching.com, fill out the short form, grab a time to talk with myself or someone from our team. Everything that we do is 100% guaranteed. If you're not absolutely thrilled with the results that you get, I don't want your money. I'll give it back. If you don't get a return, meaning if you don't make more money as a result of us working together because of greater energy, greater health, greater focus, greater mental clarity, thinking faster, working smarter, getting more done in less time, then I don't want your money. So it's no risk to you. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for being a part of the Biohacking Secrets family. Thank you for supporting this podcast. If you want to level up, go to biohackercoaching.com. Thank you.
So you're basically saying there is such a thing as almost range of motion with the eyes.
Yeah.
Where you, if your eyes start losing range of motion, that's going to affect your neurology, your mapping of the world, mm-hmm. how well you're able to move through space mm-hmm. and balance and things like that. So when you did this to me, you slid the balloon in and then quickly inflated. And it was like one of the most wild experiences I've ever had. I've never had anything in that part of my skull before. Uh-huh. And then it inflates and you hear almost like Doritos crunching.
Yeah.
And you start freaking out because uh-huh. it's so foreign and yeah. it feels so vulnerable, and then it's over.
Yeah.
And before I could even freak out, you're like, you're done, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, do you want to do the other one? We did the other one, but it opened up. I'd had difficulty breathing, soccer, getting popped in the face, different things like that, deviated septum. And for the first time in a long time, my breathing opened up. Mm. And for people that are trying to sleep better mm-hmm. and know the benefits of mouth taping and breathing right. through your nose while you're right. sleeping, a lot of people can't.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start stacking things like this endonasal cranial therapy like you do here.
Well, you know, people, they read the book Breathe, or they listen to a lot of people talking about sleep mm-hmm. and nasal breathing and breath work and CO2 and all these things. We deep dive in my book with that because this conversation is huge surrounding this cranial work. Because if you're able to like really open up the nasal passage and freely breathe through the nose, then you have this conversation about how much of a negative health impact it has when you're mouth breathing. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of the 20% less oxygen when you're breathing through your mouth than your nose. Mm-hmm. And it also puts your central nervous system and all of your organs into a stress sympathetic state.
You're like living when you're mouth fight or breathing. Flight.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, it's fascinating. I'm trying to think, did we close out methylene blue? There's so much there to unpack.
Can we ever?
I feel like we can't.
Such a huge topic.
But I'm sure some of our listeners are like, we're just getting into that. And like, there's a lot more there.
Yeah.
Does anything else come to mind with that we should be discussing with? Oh, okay. So this is interesting. I'm reading a book now, A Year Without Food. Mm. And it's the breatharians, these people that eat incredibly small amounts of food. Some of them don't eat food at all.
Yeah.
And it's actually a real thing. There's only like a few thousand.
No, I believe it.
In the world.
Yeah.
And I know you're a big fasting guy. You got a lot of products that augment fasting and senolytics, but what excites me about methylene blue is its ability to increase energy production from photonic mm-hmm. light, from mm-hmm. light rather than food.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people are becoming increasingly interested in this capacity of the body to get energy from other places, not mm-hmm. just food.
Yeah. Did you know that methylene blue inhibits mTOR?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So it's actually a great supplement to take while you're fasting.
Huh.
It doesn't do it so much that it's going to have a major negative impact on you when you're feeding. It's going to have like a big anti-androgenic effect. But it's interesting because it's a good supplement to take while you're fasting for extra energy.
Yeah.
The other thing that's a really interesting conversation that people are going to run into is the nitric oxide conversation with methylene blue, because when you start learning about it, you'll hear other people talk about how it inhibits nitric oxide, and you'll have some people that don't understand it that'll be like acting like this is a huge negative and that nitric oxide is so positive and you need nitric oxide. So what's interesting, there's three types of nitric oxide. There's inducible, there's neuronal, and there's endothelial. Neuronal and endothelial are really, really good for you, right? They really enhance health and vitality. Inducible nitric oxide is from an infection. So when you get an infection, your body releases nitric oxide to vasodilate. That's like when you get a cut or you get an infection and it swells up. Mm-hmm. That's that inducible nitric oxide. Mm. And what happens is a lot of people have a chronic infection and they run high levels of nitric oxide, like even like a gut infection. It could be a SIBO or it could be a parasite or it could be oral, mm-hmm. poor gingiva or a chronic nasal infection. And I talk a lot about this within the context of taking care of your doorways and how important that is to, yeah. to minimize an inflammation in your body. But if we go back to this nitric oxide, these different doorway are ways that there's infection and that reaction to the infection is to upregulate nitric oxide. And what happens is that mixes with certain chemistry in your blood and it turns into something called peroxynitrates. Mm. And peroxynitrates is one of the most damaging chemicals to your cardiovascular system. Very, very, very corrosive.
It's the free radical that's produced from radiation, cell phone radiation, Wi-Fi, all that.
Yeah, that's also another. So there's different routes, but so you don't want that, right? And they've linked depression and poor mood associated with, I think we're ready to maybe get your red light just yeah. about. They've done large clinical trials on methylene blue, and they've shown that it helps depression and
right.
The reason that it does is it mops up the bad nitric oxide. It doesn't touch the good nitric oxide. Red light is really good at increasing neuronal and endothelial nitric oxide. Hmm. Hyperbaric oxygen really works on the endothelial nitric oxide. So all three of those are really powerful synergistic together. In fact, in the book Magic Bullet, I co-wrote a lengthy article with Jason Saunders, who basically has his PhD in hyperbaric oxygen, and also Brian Richards, who has Sauna Space, is very, very fluent with photobiomodulation. But we really are putting together some protocols called Red Blue O2, where we're like just kind of like educating people on how they can put together their own kind of biohacking situation using oxygen, light, and things like methylene blue or different photosensitizers.
Very interesting. I mean, especially when you think about stacking just plain old sunlight and earthing with methylene blue and something like chlorella. Mm-hmm. You know, both of those have been shown to increase uptake of sunlight and help it get to where it needs to go for us to make more energy from it. And I think that there probably will be a time in the future where we have less reliance on food and we're leaning more into sunlight, you know?
Yeah.
And there's going to be applications for people that have health issues and people that just don't want to spend as much money on food or don't want to spend as much time eating and just want to run cleaner. Mm-hmm.
So methylene blue, bullet.
Methylene blue, getting the body running, other fuel sources. I mean, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, what are your thoughts on some of these GLP-1 agonists like tirzepatide, for example, and retatrutide? I've mixed feelings, partly because anything coming out of Eli Lilly, I'm like, do we really know all the potential consequences? What is interesting about it is that a lot of people find that they don't need as much food. Mm. Their appetite is significantly suppressed.
Yeah.
And then there are studies coming out that it has benefits in potentially prevented Alzheimer's prevention. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Do you have any thoughts on those things or not so much yet?
I don't know that I could add a lot to that conversation beyond what you already stated, because it's not really something I've delved into as much.
Yeah, yeah totally.
But it is something that's on my radar to dig into.
I've utilized it a little bit. I've had clients utilize it, but I, of course, and I go into everything now, even supplements. Like, what if this isn't all good? Mm-hmm. Right? How much benefit am I deriving from it? And am I taking into account potential risks mm-hmm. that may not have been disclosed?
Yeah.
You know, picking your punches. It's not the days of old where I would just take 100 pills in a day, or you see certain people on the internet doing that now and it's with reckless abandon.
Yeah.
But then you look and like a lot of these have magnesium stearate and all these other additives that you don't want to be taking handfuls of that every day.
Yeah.
You'd mentioned mTOR
inhibition. Hey, what's up? We got the Weber IV laser. Yeah, come on in. Right. We'll keep chatting. The lovely Amy, everybody. She was taking care of me earlier and still is.
In between you guys.
Yeah.
Peter Attia is big on rapamycin.
Yeah.
For mTOR inhibition. Do you have anything, any thoughts on mTOR inhibition via methylene blue versus rapamycin? Any thoughts on rapamycin or?
Well, rapamycin is fairly expensive.
Yeah.
And I really like fisetin. I don't know if you've looked into the research, but fisetin has great research as a senolytic,
yeah,
and inhibiting mTOR. And so we've built like a product line based on fisetin. And there's also another, it's from blueberries. It's called steryl stilbene.
Mm, yeah.
And there's some really good research on that as well. And they're
spelled with a P.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a trippy spelling.
Yeah, trippy spelling. Just in case anyone was listening, it's like they're searching and not finding it.
Yeah, yeah. But so that's called Lucitol. And
right.
we kind of bundle that in with a fast track. So I really like taking those polyphenols. And most polyphenols have a bit of a senolytic effect.
Quercetin, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the tea flavanols.
Yeah, yeah. So you take those while you're fasting, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're also very anti-inflammatory. They're also, they calm down glial activation in the brain, right? So we're constantly being bombarded by neurotoxins, and those neurotoxins are creating inflammation in our brain, and that's what a lot of times are giving us is kind of like brain fog.
Yeah.
Right? Or if we have a head injury, if you're in sports where you're getting banged around a lot, then likely you might have some glial activation. That glial just never slows down.
Yeah.
So taking something like a Lucitol or some of these powerful polyphenols could really be very, very good to take regularly to keep that whole glial activation at a calmer state.
Yeah.
Really good for your brain.
I like that. And some of the ways that you can stack this, it's like once a month during a fast, you take a high dose or, you know, for 1 or 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that for people that are sort of a little bit reserved or anti-supplement.
Yeah.
It's not something you got to take every day or multiple times a day.
No, but they don't absorb very well orally.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like with curcumin, you know, they recommend black pepper, you know, to help
right.
with the absorption.
That bioprene.
But that's why we put it in a suppository.
Ah, interesting.
You know,
okay.
So suppository delivery. Now, you will stain white sheets and white underwear, so you might want to, like, invest in black underwear. It's, like, the best hack when you're, like, using these polyphenols as suppositories.
I only have black boxer briefs.
Yeah.
And I made that switch a long time ago. This is just kind of funny. Have a laugh at my expense. I was at Whole Foods a few months ago, and this was during a period where I was playing around with some curcumin suppositories,
uh-huh.
and I'm picking up some stuff, and I get home, and I'm wearing like some sweat shorts,
uh-huh.
some light colored sweat shorts, and I have a orange curcumin suppository stain on my ass that I was walking around Whole Foods with for like half an hour.
Oh,
I was horrified, and that doesn't come out.
No, never.
You know, and that was last time I used I had to kind of weigh, all right, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth these curcumin suppositories.
Well, you know, we manufacture in a variety of different suppositories, so I travel with them. I find that when I'm traveling and I utilize this technology, I feel amazing. And I can't tell you how many times I've slept in a friend's, like, white, you know, linen bed and whatever. And, you know, wake up in the morning, I'm like, uh-oh.
So what's going on there, though? I'm like, I didn't crap my pants.
Yeah.
You know, is there just, like, suppository leakage sometimes? Because, like, I don't experience it all the time, but it's a thing.
Sometimes we pass gas. We don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, like, just a little, like, I always say, you know, don't trust a fart, right? Sometimes
yeah.
you're like, oh, okay, it's just a little gas.
Especially if you've been loading suppositories all day.
I've messed myself pretty bad. Like one time I was in the car
yeah.
and like I was at a stoplight and I was on my way to work And I must have had three suppositories in. And I'm like, just
that makes a baker's dozen for me, Bob.
Hey, Bob, we got to check. We got a mess on aisle three, Bob. Come on.
You have any idea how fast you were going? I'm going to be honest, officer. I'm all hopped up on methylene blue suppositories.
Hey, Marge, you might want to come over here and clean up a little bit.
Again.
No, but this time, man, I really thought it was a little bit of gas and I was going to kind of let it out slowly. And next thing I know, man, I'm like sitting on a whole bunch of like suppositories that have been like melted. And then, you know, I had to pull over, right? It was a gas station. I'm like, kind of like, I have myself kind of like braced above my seat like this. And I'm trying to like not touch it, not sit on it and smear it around. I pull into the gas station and I get out and I'm like, got the doors, you know, and I'm like, you know, and, you know, eventually I just had to throw my underwear out.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you like use your underwear and you're like, you're gone, right?
But, yeah.
It's a thing. It's a problem.
Thing. It's a thing. And I know at least someone listening has experienced it. You know, yeah. It's not
even without suppositories.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
At some point, right?
Don't even, I mean, we could do a whole episode on embarrassing mistakes. but you know, we need more time than we have today.
And methylene blue is not going to help that situation. But if you have a methylene blue suppository,
yeah.
You are going to make a real stain problem. Like this is a stain that will not get out at all.
Forget about it.
Car seats.
Save yourself everything. Some time, put it right in the trash and move on. Chalk it up as a loss. Dude, let's talk about these stem cells.
Oh yeah.
Because we're at a place right now where we got so many clinics all over the United States and all over the world administering stem cells. And I talk to more and more people who don't feel shit.
Right. Yeah.
What's going on there? And then how do we fix this problem?
Well, I was one of those people for many years. And what was kind of sad is I was in the business. I have been in the business with stem cell therapy since like close to 25 years. Mm-hmm. And it all started for me with a car accident. And
like you just were just telling us. A suppository-induced car accident.
Right, yeah. It was shortly after the incident. And, you know, I got rear-ended twice. One with the suppository and then with the car. But yeah, this was a rear-end collision, and it was a severe injury to my lower L5 S1 disc and then recommended to get surgery. And then I met a osteopath who had been studying regenerative medicine. And at the time, this was way before stem cells were even on the radar for anybody. And so they were using dextrose in a high concentration, and it's called prolotherapy. Okay. And this basically cured my back. And it was at that point that I brought...
You mean they're like injecting you with sugar?
Yeah. It's a high concentration sugar.
So what does this cause? Inflammation that brings your body's attention to the site, and then your body's able to heal where maybe it wasn't getting the signal before? Or what's going on there?
Yeah, so dextrose works. It's kind of an interesting way that it works, but primarily with connective tissue, it activates the fibroblasts to go into a blastic stage and produce more collagen.
Huh.
And so it works really good with connective tissue. And so my problem was the iliolumbar ligament and SI joint. It wasn't the L5 disc at all. Okay. And that, in fact, that referred pain was coming from those structures. So I had a series of these injections, and it healed that connective tissue and that SI joint. And,
wow.
And I was fine. The SI joint was irritated because all the ligaments around the SI joint were loose and damaged from that car accident. Right.
Yeah.
So what I learned from that experience was that most all of injuries to our orthopedic, you know, to our body are basically creating loose ligaments and then rough cartilage, right? Or if it's in the spine, we have a disc that can have some derangement, some irritation of the disc. And so it's not the pain and not the inflammation that's the problem, it's the instability. And if we can regain that stability, then we can have a cure to the problem at the cause, at the root cause,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when this happened, I got really interested. And so I've been collaborating in my clinic. We've had a team of both medical and, you know, holistic practitioners kind of collaborating. And so we were one of the first clinics to start pulling bone marrow and doing liposuctions, because there's a lot of stem cells in fat, which we can get into in a bit on how powerful those stem cells are. But we would do mini liposuctions and we'd do bone marrow extractions, mm-hmm. and platelet-rich plasma with the blood. You can spin that down. So there's all these newer techniques. And then a lot of companies started to come out with all these placental-based stem cell products and exosomes. And I started to really deep dive into the science behind stem cell therapy and realized that it's the stem cells secreting exosomes that are what make the healing happen, right? And so the exosomes are like packets of RNA, which is information. So it's basically like signals of information to our existing cells and tissues to go into a youthful, more growth repair phase.
Okay.
So, so that's why they can take different stem cells and stress them in a way and then collect the exosomes, right? But if you can get a stem cell to go to an injury site and adhese itself adjacent to that injury site and sit there and just secrete exosomes for extended periods of time, the healing that's possible is just infinitely more than if you were to have something that was either secreting exosomes for, because the studies show that an average stem cell secretes about 17 million exosomes an hour. Okay. And so if we look at a stem cell and the survivability of that stem cell, it really makes a big difference. Because really you can argue that the amount of stem cells are going to be the amount of potential healing that that tissue can have.
Right. The amount of stem cells and the rate of exosomal release.
Right.
I'm just making up words. Exosomal. Just exosomal. Sounds right.
It's very exosomal.
It's very exosomal. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. I don't want to get too exosomal on you here. as an aside, I'm also interested because like there was a bunch of companies that were just selling exosomes.
Yeah.
For a while and still are, you know. Do you have any thoughts on that versus stem cells? Have you played around with them and seen, like, what have you seen clinically?
I have, and that's been my go-to, using exosomes. But I've always gravitated, especially if it's moderate to severe, like if somebody comes in with a bad hip issue, a lot of arthritis in their hip, or a more severe spinal condition or a knee, I'm always really kind of favoring bone marrow, because I know I've had many, many cases where I've done a treatment on them with bone marrow and I'll see them 10 years later and like they're doing phenomenal. Like I've had great results. And it's been kind of hit or miss with some of these other products until...
Are you saying their bone marrow or a bone marrow
product? Their own bone marrow.
Okay. So you got to go in and...
There are no bone marrow products.
Okay.
Right? It's unless you expanded... So there's something called culture expansion and that's not legal in the U.S., right? And bone marrow stem cells are not really considered a great stem cell line to expand. These placental stem cells are really considered like the gold standard. So if you were to go to like Neil Rorden's clinic in Panama,
right.
Or, you know, their BioAccelerator is a clinic everybody's talking about in Colombia, but now there's all these stories coming back about some challenges people are having going there.
Mm.
But if we really start looking at like all of these clinics,
They come home with an STD. That's a sex tourism joke, guys.
Well, there's spike proteins. There's like different things that you can get through. But the problem with these placental-derived stem cells is they don't survive very long. You're lucky for them to survive for an hour. So once they're introduced into the body, they're very fragile. And the reason that they are is because their telomeres are really short. So they don't have the ability to go in there and be very robust.
Now, why would that be? Because you hear the narrative around telomeres that they tend to, they're basically like the end caps of shoelaces. And when our cells replicate, they come off, cell replicates. And the more a cell is exposed to stress where it needs to replicate, regenerate, the telomeres get shorter and shorter and shorter. Mm-hmm. You would think cells coming from the placenta or a baby are going to be very long because it's still a baby.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Am I making stuff up and jumping to conclusions?
Well, A little bit. That's okay.
That's all right.
I thought about that too. And, and you know, I don't fully grasp the way that that works either, in the sense that why would God make that situation, that scenario, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And it could be because the need for that kind of, it's more transitional, you know, because it's not part of the baby. We're not talking about, like, you know, fetal stem cells.
Okay.
You know, this is basically what's attaching the mother to the baby. And it's right. like more of a temporary thing.
Yeah.
So it's not likely that it needs a lot of longer telomeres, but I don't really fully appreciate, like, the whole situation with that either.
Okay.
But that's the way the science is coming out, that's saying that these are very fragile stem cells.
Okay.
And we can't legally expand these in the United States. And that's why everybody's leaving the country, because you can do these IVs. The two things that have been a big reason for people to leave the country, and these are the two reasons why people don't need to leave the country anymore, because we can do something actually like close to 4,000 times stronger here in the United States. Hmm. And I'll tell you about it in a second.
When you were saying reasons people leave the country, I was going to be like, Joe Biden.
I know, right?
I'll continue.
Well, that's the biggest reason, right?
Yeah, now,
right.
Right?
It's gosh, right. What a clown. Anyway, the survivability, if you had a stem cell that was much more survivable, there's some stem cell line that we started working with, I call X cells, and they're actually derived from adipose tissue, and they have telomeres that are 40 times longer than the ones from placental stem cells. And basically, this is what everybody's using, like I said. And the expansion of those placental stem cells are what all these clinics are. And it's mostly out of a tissue in the placenta called the Wharton's jelly.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at Wharton's jelly, the jelly itself, when you break up that jelly, you actually disrupt the stem cells. The stem cells can't survive outside of that jelly for, like, very long at all, like very few moments. So they have to process it where the jelly's intact and their stem cells intact. But the problem is, in order to get rid of the endothelial cells, which would contain spike proteins, because the ACE2 receptors are associated with the endothelial cells, they can't filter those out. So it's impossible. So
just to pause real quick, endothelial cells, you're talking about cells that are part of our circulatory system, like the vasculature, arteries, veins, capillaries, all of that. And that is bad when it's a part of stem cells because they produce inflammation.
Because they've been vaccinated.
Because they've been, oh, probably, right?
Well, that's what we're talking about, is that, let's say we don't want spike proteins, right?
Yeah.
So all these people, they're going to say, oh, you know, we've screened people for, but wait, it's a piece of paper that they're basically saying, no, I've not been vaccinated. But you've got somebody that's going in, they're wanting to make money off their placenta.
Yeah.
And they're going to say whatever they're going to say, right?
So you weren't vaccinated, were you?
Right. So you don't really know, but yeah. with the X cells, there's a way to purify it where there's no vascular endothelial cells left. So it's much safer that way.
Mm.
And you have 40 times more survivability. And they've done studies. The studies that are coming out on these adipose-derived stem cells are absolutely incredible. They help to support myelin. So they're actually superior at regenerating parts of nerves in the central nervous system. They help produce endothelial cells, which is good because you want to revascularize a lot of things. Like if you were doing like the O shot or the P shot for sexual wellness, hair, skin, or if you're doing arthritis, you know, if you're treating the foot, the ankle, it's really important because there's very poor blood supply there. So these cells do better there. And they did a study with this cell line, and they found that with ulcerative colitis, so it's an autoimmune disease, and the results were phenomenal, right? You're not going to get that type of results with stem cells that don't survive very long, because these are conditions that deal with like an ongoing immune system.
Right. Well, like the body's already pretty proficient at, in some way, for some reason, attacking and killing its own cells.
Right.
And then you introduce like a vulnerable cell from someone else.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to
continue on
right
in a similar fashion.
Yeah. So because they did that study, it, you know, it's an off-label use. We can legally do infusions. And so we've done a number of infusions with doses up to 2 million stem cells, which is what we talked about doing with you as well.
Yeah.
And possibly some of the sensitivities that you're having could be improved with that.
Yeah. You know, that we're talking about, so like if I go into a highly, an area of high population density, like if I'm chilling in downtown Chicago or downtown Miami, my body gets more inflamed, noticeably more inflamed. And then I go and just go to an area that's a little bit more remote, more chill, get in the ocean, and it goes away. But there's a lot of times where, like, I want to spend more time in a city because there's a lot of fun stuff going on, mm-hmm. you know, bachata classes, things like yeah. that, you know, UFC events like coming up at this weekend.
Yeah.
And so we're interested in experimenting with whether these stem cells might reduce some of that sensitivity. I just wanted to give it context for people weren't like, you know, thinking I was crying at rom-coms or hyper-emotionality. Like, oh, maybe you'll stop acting like a bitch.
Yeah.
So very cool.
I want to share real quickly the three main reasons that so many people have horrible digestion and the subsequent downstream health consequences of a dysregulated digestive system. First, all of us have been drinking and showering in water that's loaded with chlorine and fluoride and bromide and a whole bunch of other chemicals that kill the healthy bacteria and other microorganisms in our gut. Number two, imagine you had to drink a cup of pesticide and herbicide, you know, glyphosate. It's now in everything, and it's been in everything since the 1990s. But it goes one step further. Now you look at all of the technology that we have integrated into our lives. Now let's go back in time and imagine you're on the African savanna and all of a sudden a lion comes out of the brush. What's your body going to do? It's going to spike the stress hormone cortisol. Your adrenals, in communication with your brain, are going to see this lion. They're going to recognize that you are now in danger. Now the problem is, we're not on the African savanna and a lion didn't just come out of the brush, but we're doing that same thing to ourselves all the time. And it's part of the reason that so many guys can only eat one meal a day and they're having, you know, they're switching to carnivore. And if they have any carbs, their digestion and their health is a wreck and their whole body gets inflamed. I can tell you also from experience that that doesn't go to a good place. And until we even have an idea of what is contributing to this situation, we can't fix it. And if you want help, that's what I do. I help people fix their gut and then get their body back functioning optimally. So if you want help with this stuff, you can go to biohackercoaching.com, fill out the short form, grab a time to talk with myself or someone from our team. That's biohackercoaching.com. Appreciate you guys. If you found this helpful or you know someone who's been struggling with digestive issues, please send it to them. And now back to the show.
You can use these as an IV and do a systemic treatment. And if you wanted to focus it to the central nervous system, which both myself and some of my colleagues are seeing some really interesting and exciting results with, just brain issues, right? Stroke, Parkinson's, degenerative neurologic cognitive disorder. We actually pre-dose people with a sugar called mannitol. And what this does is it temporarily breaks down the blood-brain barrier and these cells get right into the nervous system.
Yeah.
And so this is a really exciting approach.
Just have them get on their phone for a couple hours and hold it next to their head.
Yeah, right. I know.
Now, why mannitol and not dextrose?
Well, mannitol tends to do a good job to break down the blood-brain barrier. And there's a lot of, it's kind of the standard of care for different procedures to get into the brain this way.
Interesting. Very interesting. So to give context, 2 million stem cells, what are they doing at Riordan, for example, or like, you know, so, give a little context.
Cause so it's they, like, I don't know. So I have a friend that just recently went to a bioaccelerator
in Columbia
and they did two infusions of 2 million.
Okay.
And so it was like a couple days apart. And the reason that they need to do more than one infusion is because they don't last very long. So they need to reintroduce it to get results.
Yeah.
A friend of mine has a friend that went there, and there was two children that had some severe kind of autoimmune diseases, and they literally talked them into liquidating all of their assets, and it was pretty much all the money they had, and they charged them $35,000 each. And the kids went there and they got, I think, 4 or 6 infusions, no results. This is a few months ago. They got no results and they're basically out of money.
Ugh.
Right. And so this is the bummer, is that a lot of these clinics, you know, they give a lot of false promises, and the stem cells just,
I can't imagine trying to convince someone to liquidate all their assets.
Yeah.
Under any, like, even when I know that what I'm doing is helping someone, if it's like the last of their money,
it's a difficult conversation to have. Yeah. Right. I mean, you have to be really secure that what you're going to do is going to move the needle.
Yeah.
For them. And we have to deal with that conversation with some people as well. I mean, we have a lot of affluent people that come in that money is not a problem.
Right.
But then, you know, I like to work with people if I know where they're at, mm-hmm. you know, and we have a bit of a, you know, a scale where we'll work with people, you know, but I'm certainly not going to have people like being destitute so that they can get treatment at our
clinic. Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough position. So what are you seeing with these? I mean, you've used them yourself. What are you seeing with other people? Like, what are the stories that excite you the most?
Well, I told you about Luke's story, right? So anybody that's like in listening to podcasts and like Luke's story, we did, an event here in December. It was Elements of Vitality, and Ben Greenfield flew in.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't make that.
You were supposed to be here.
I was supposed to be there. I got it. Shit came up. Sorry about that.
And Luke's story has been dealing with this hip and lower back problem for a while. In fact, Luke and I flew out together, and I was there at the clinic when Matt Cook treated Luke, and Matt did a great job.
In California?
It was in San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
And but the thing is, he was using the placental products, right? And so Luke,
I was gonna say, he probably used gay stem cells.
Right. Yeah.
And terrible jokes today, guys. Please, sorry. I can't get canceled. It's my own show.
Yeah, it's true.
Jokes, people, just jokes.
Yeah. And you know, and Ben Greenfield been dealing with a knee, you know, so he's been, anybody that follows his podcast, you know, he's very regularly getting these different stem cell treatments, but both of them are doing absolutely phenomenal. We have another individual who we'd have
from using these, the X cells.
We use the X cells with them. They were among the first people that we treated with them.
So this stuff, the placental cells from Cali, didn't take.
No.
And then how long after that did you do the X cells?
So, well, they'd been doing these on and off for years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Their problems are very chronic.
Yeah.
We had a case with a hip where the results weren't, you know, they were good, but not to the point where we wanted to. And I got a text recently with, he used to be Homeland Security Advisor under both Trump and Bush. His name's Doug Fears. And he was a presenter. And we did the XLs into his hips. And he says, he hasn't had pain in 3 months.
His okay.
Hips. Hips are one of the hardest areas, you know, joints to treat,
so
stem
deep.
Cells.
Yeah.
But there are studies, they've actually done studies comparing the adipose-derived stem cells to the placental-based stem cells. And what they found is that a lot of these things, placental, they give you a temporary anti-inflammatory effect
yeah.
in the short term, but they don't really regenerate a lot of tissue because they're just not there long enough.
Mm-hmm.
But the adipose-derived stem cells in the long term really build the cartilage. They really move the needle on actually repairing the tissue. And you're not going to get results right away with regenerative medicine because you're not producing new tissue within like a few weeks.
Yeah.
However, with that said, we are seeing people feel better in the short term as well. So these cells can produce an anti-inflammatory effect. It's not quite as strong as the placental.
Interesting. When I got stem cells in, I don't know, 2018 or so, I remember feeling all the inflammation just go away
mm-hmm.
for about 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I had like, they were like jackhammering on my back. And I looked like an eggplant for about a month afterwards. And then like a few days later, I was feeling inflamed again.
Huh.
And I was like, I don't know if that was worth it.
Wow.
All things considered, my body's really good at
making. Was this in San Francisco, jackhammer?
Yeah.
Did you drop the soap?
Nice.
No, this is fascinating too, because I think a lot of people have felt like had an experience similar to mine.
Yeah.
Where they're like, this is stem cells. Like this is what everyone's talking about. Mm. And it's a bit of what you're saying. They're just too fragile. So if people want to talk with you, your team, about stem cells, some of the other things you're doing here, the endonasal cranial therapy, which I don't know if I even need it, but I want to do it again.
Yeah.
It's like, my breathing's pretty good
right now. When you circle back around, I want to do this functional eye test on you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let's see what comes up with that. And if there's some things that are, you know, because you don't necessarily know that these things are wrong with you.
Right.
Until you test them.
Yeah. Absolutely. My vision's 20/20, but when you have something like this that's standard.
It's not visual.
Right.
This is functional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by it. So what's the, people that are still with us hanging out and have tolerated all my horrible cancel me type jokes.
Yeah.
How can they learn more about you, talk with your team, see if the stuff that you offer here is of interest and could be helpful for them?
Yeah. Well, you know, the books that we talked about on Amazon would be a good start. Then, you can find me on Instagram at Dr. John Laurence. Also, we do events here, which we post at drjohnlaurence.com. The clinic is advancedrejuvenation.us, and you can click on X cells and deep dive into X cells. And then there's a, on all the pages on advancedrejuvenation.us, there's consultation buttons, and you can click that and we can do an MRI review, or we can go over whatever case you might have and give you a treatment plan and give you an idea of to what you might expect with treatment here.
I love it. And then your supplements are all at, is it mitozen.com?
Mm-hmm.
MITOZEN.com.
Well, we switched to a club-based, member-based.
Smart.
Yeah. So, although mitozen.com is still there, a lot of the like more advanced products are only available at mitozen.club. It's literally $10.
Yeah.
You can get in, you can shop all the products, and it's lifetime.
That's good. That makes a lot of sense. I think
plus we can, I can put a lot of content, like, you know, a lot of the things that we're talking about here were more on the clinic side. We didn't really get into a lot of the products, but it's like, I almost got like a gag order when it's talking about products. So I can't really, you know, they talk about making claims, like you really can't say anything.
Every platform I've built is now banned or shadow banned because I talk about everything.
Yeah.
But then, you know, that game, anyway, I'm not going to go start pissing and moaning. No one cares. but your products on MitoZen, Sandman is amazing. We've talked about these in a lot of, you can go back and listen to the other episodes. We're going to do a part two. When I circle back after the UFC event in Miami and stuff, we got to talk about the prostate and some of the light therapy things that you guys are doing.
Yes.
We'll talk about some of the new products and stuff that you're excited about. So guys, mm-hmm. if you like this episode, let Dr. John Laurence know on Instagram. Let me know Instagram or wherever, and share this up, because it probably is shadow banned. So you guys sharing it is how we get out and reach a ton of people. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you for hanging out, brother.
Yeah, man.
This has been fun.
It's been awesome.
It's been a while, but it's nice to do it in person.
Yeah.
I like it. And then we'll do a part two.
I think
two.
This is the first one in person.
We've never done it in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. Better. Beautiful. More fun.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff.